Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
This is Mike Edison, host of Art Senses and Seizures. You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, please visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher. I'm also known as the Food Healer. Welcome to the show. So today's show's a big one. I've got Carrie Hovey and Charles Merrill on the line. We're going to talk about Project Thorn, which is a rhino conservation project. Carrie, Charles, are you guys there?
Yeah.
Yay. So good to hear from you, Carrie. It's great to catch up. Carrie and I went to art school a million years ago together, and so this is what she's doing now. And so if it's okay with you guys, I'd like to just get started.
Perfect.
So, Carrie, first question. What is Project Thorn?
Project Thorn is a group that I've helped form for rhino poaching purposes, to prevent rhino poaching, actually. Project Thorn stands for, it's the acronym THORN, Tangible Help Our Rhinos Need. So our goal is to find projects that are achievable, tangible, and immediate, that can have results now. Not speculative in 2 years or 3 years down the line, but something that we can do right now that will affect right now.
Wow.
So with that in mind, our first project is called Hornucopia, Hooves for Horns. And our mission for this is, first of all, I bet you didn't know that horses actually help with the rhinos.
No, this is the whole thing. Like when you told me about the concept of this or the whole thing, I'm fascinated by it. So, yeah, I want to know everything. So just tell me everything.
Okay. Well, the horses provide a really important role for the actual rangers as far as moving around the parks.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go into this a little bit later, but a lot of the parks are only navigable currently on foot.
Mm.
So a horse really makes a significant difference for the rangers. And our primary objective with Hornucopia is to reinstate an anti-horse patrol in a park called Impolosi in South Africa.
So, like, how big is this park?
The park, I want to say, is about 140,000 hectares.
Holy cow.
It's massive. And the area of the park that we're working with,
mm-hmm.
40% of the poaching in the park occurs in this one particular area.
Wow.
But it's the most remote. There aren't roads that lead in. Mm. The terrain is ridiculous as far as being rugged. And really, the only way the rangers can get there is on foot.
Wow.
So a horse will make a very significant difference.
Totally. And it's something that's feasible as well, which is what I love.
Yeah.
Wow. So how did this come about? I mean, last time I saw your stuff, you were making art installations, and now next thing I know, you're doing this project. So how did that evolve?
Okay, well, yeah. It all actually started out of art. In 2012, I was in South Africa at an artist residency called the Bag Factory, and I was working on an installation about elephant poaching. And unbeknownst to me, elephant poaching wasn't really a big issue for South Africa.
Huh.
That's happening in other areas and is a tremendous problem. But in South Africa, it's really the rhino that's targeted.
Interesting.
And at that time, there's a lot of international press now about the rhino, but in 2012, it was really under the radar. So I did my elephant project and wanted desperately to go back and work on a rhino-related project. So fast forward to 2014,
mm-hmm.
and I convinced my husband, Charles, who's on the line with us, that we should really participate in a mountain bike race.
Mm.
So we signed up as my tactic to get back to South Africa.
Good job.
So we signed up for a 9-day, 900-kilometer mountain bike race.
Holy cow.
And we specifically selected this race because it's completely community-based,
mm-hmm.
and their objective is to uplift the communities that the race traverses.
Nice.
So, yeah, they have really wonderful charities, and one of them was an organization called 12 Hours, which focuses on rhinos. When they were established, one rhino was being poached every 24 hours.
Oh, my God.
Every 12 hours in South Africa.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that's how their name was founded. Unfortunately, it's no longer an accurate number. But so we signed up for this one specifically for that. And then about a month before we were about to leave last year, I'm on the site, and 12 Hours isn't one of the charities. So I contacted the race, and I said, gosh, I'm really sorry. Why did they get dropped? And the race was like, well, they don't have a team riding for them. So I contacted the organization, said, I'm going to send you a donation. You're the reason I'm on this trip.
Wow.
And they're like, would you ride for us?
Yay.
So fast forward 24 hours, and suddenly we are riding for the charity.
Wow.
They're back on the donor list for Old Mutual.
Awesome.
And we're signed up to do a fundraiser for an organization called Rhino Art.
That's really cool.
So, yeah, in the 3 weeks before we left for South Africa, we ran a campaign, and we raised, with the help of all of our friends, we raised enough money to support the Rhino Art Project in 8 schools.
Wow.
Yeah. So out of that, we were able to participate in one of them after the race in the city of Matuba-Tuba. And the program coordinator, Grant Folds of Rhino Art, arranged for us after to meet with an anti-poaching ranger in Impolosi. And out of that meeting, Project Thorn and Hornucopia came out of a need we identified.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so it's a long story that started with art and now being an artist animal activist.
It's really interesting what you do, and I love what you do because, I mean, as you and I know, art is just a great form of communication, and it's a way to get this information out there where people can absorb it at their own speed, you know, and they can either walk away and have their lives completely changed by it or at least have thought about it for a couple minutes, and it may not have been a topic that they'd ever crossed their mind, you know? So I'm really proud of you, girl. I think this is amazing.
Oh. Thanks. We've come a long way from Gramercy Park.
Yeah, no kidding, right? So tell me something. It's like, I know about with rhinos, the whole like magic horn that's an aphrodisiac and all this kind of stuff. What are the reasons why rhinos are being poached?
I'm sorry, I missed that very last part.
What are the main reasons that rhinos are being killed?
Oh, gosh. Charlie, do you want to pick this one?
Sure. It's just devastating. On average, more than 3 rhinos are poached and mutilated every day for the horn.
Wow.
The population of the southern white rhino is less than 20,000. Black rhino once roamed all over sub-Saharan Africa. There are now less than 5,000 of them.
Oh, my God.
Since 2008, over 5,000 rhino have been poached. They expect in 2016 the birth rate versus poaching rate will turn negative.
Wow.
Some of the reasons that they're poached are, you know, folklore and investment. That's one that really gets me. You know, the folklore is easily disproven. Some of the, it's rumored that there was a politician in Vietnam that claimed that his cancer was cured by drinking rhino horn.
Oh, God.
So it, after 2008, it just spiked. There's no medicinal value. Mm-hmm. It's just keratin. But the frightening thing is that it's used as an investment vehicle now.
Okay.
There are groups that will buy a horn, chop it up into small pieces, and you each contribute, you know, X, and you get a chunk of rhino.
Wow. Ooh, are you there?
It's called Gambling on Extinction. I would highly recommend it. Anyone that's interested in this is a topic. It's on tour now in film festivals.
Yep, and actually I had the director on my show a couple months ago for Racing Extinction, and the whole thing is, I mean, so I'm assuming that in a sense, like, they'll kill a rhino, get the horn, and then divide it up, but I'm assuming this is worth, like, a fortune.
It is indeed.
Okay.
It's currently selling for about $65,000 a kilo.
Wow.
And the average set of white rhino horns is about 6 kilos.
Really?
Yeah.
God.
That said, it's not the poacher that's necessarily making the money on this.
Mm-hmm.
It's the the large international cartel that's trafficking it.
Unreal.
Animal poaching now is the fourth most lucrative illicit trade.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm just blown away by this. I mean, it's something that, you know, it's not talked about much in terms of, you know, so many animals are endangered right now. And so this I didn't realize that the rhinos were in so much trouble. I knew the numbers were low, but it's terrible. So why is it so hard to catch poachers?
Well, as we said, it's incredibly profitable.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a lot of incentive, which means there are a lot of people out there trying to kill the rhinos, which if they just realized that the animals were probably worth more to the whole community alive, mm-hmm. we would be in a much better place. But because there's so much money involved and they're sophisticated and they're organized and it's international, they're run out of Mozambique for the most part, which just that's enough, I think.
Yeah, seriously.
But a rhino can be taken down, dehorned, and the horn can be transported out of this particular park within and be in Mozambique within 2 to 3 hours.
Oh, my God.
And then it can be on a market in Southeast Asia in less than 24 hours.
Wow.
So it's really fast. And like I said, we're talking about serious amounts of money.
Yeah.
The parks, they're just enormous, and they're underfunded, like every government organization.
Totally.
So they're... You've got one lone ranger patrolling massive amounts of park, and you've got who knows how many poachers just waiting for a rhino to come into their site.
Totally, totally.
So they're outnumbered, they're outdollared, they're out, on every level. It's just too much money is at play.
I mean, I'm assuming, too, if you're a guard, that this would probably be a really dangerous job to have.
Yes, indeed. The other reason the horses are really important, they one, it allows the rangers to remain undetected, but it also allows them to get out of harm's way.
Yeah, yeah.
If need be.
Unbelievable. I mean, it really, really is. It's, it always comes down to money, you know what I mean? That's the worst part. And so with the horses, do you guys have any horses down there already?
There is a stable in the same park that has a team of horses.
Mm-hmm.
The area that we're working with in the park used to have horses, and then because of budget cuts, their horses were cut. So they have all the infrastructure, they have the training, they have everything in place.
That's
they
great.
Just don't have the money to pay for the horses' feed.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so I'm assuming there's a bit of training that has to go in with these horses, too, so that they don't freak out every time they see a rhino. Just understand what it is.
Well, rhinos are rather docile, and they have very poor vision. So I don't think there's fear of that. They
okay.
have a keen sense of smell, and they have a keen sense of hearing.
It's funny because, like, I've heard so much of, like, you know, the rhino is the most dangerous animal in Africa. You know, everyone thinks it's the crocodile or the lion, but it's the rhino that's going to get you. And so, like, what do the locals think of the rhinos? Are they cool with it, or they want to get rid of them?
Charles?
Sure. Less than 5% of person living in a community around in Pelosi Park has actually ever seen a rhino.
Oh, wow.
So they don't have the investment or the emotional connection other than somebody got a new car.
Okay.
So that was part of the Rhino Art Project, was to drive that and the children around the park.
Yeah, because it's like we've talked about lion conservation before, and, you know, the lions can be a real menace to the small communities. And so for them, saving them was kind of like they had to teach them why these animals were valuable, because they're coming in because they're hungry and, you know, they're killing some of their goats or they're just a general nuisance and that sort of thing. But, I mean, it's funny, too, because since I don't know anything, I mean, out of my ignorance, it almost sounds like, you know, the rhinos that are there are very aggressive and go after people, and so that's part of the threat, but obviously not at all.
It couldn't be more different.
Wow.
They're really, they are very docile animals. The black rhino is known to be slightly more aggressive, but it's also very elusive.
Mm.
The last thing a black rhino wants to do is see you.
Wow.
So it will likely hear you or smell you and head the other way.
Wow.
They're not aggressive animals.
Wow.
Which is part of why they're so easy to poach.
Makes sense.
They mostly just stand there.
Oh,
they
God.
Have no, yeah, they have no predators other than us.
And we're doing such a great job. It's just like the worst. Wow. Well, we need to take a quick break. We're going to be off for about a minute and a half. I'm talking to Carrie Hovey and Charles Merrill all about their conservation for rhinos called Project Thorn. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hello out there, it's Steve Jenkins. I'm with Fairway Markets. White Leghorn, Red Wattle, Bourbon Red, Navajo Churro. Well, these aren't names you're likely to hear at a Fairway butcher counter or any other counter today, but before the rise of factory farming, you would have. And at Heritage Foods USA, you still do. Heritage Foods USA exists to promote genetic diversity, small family farms, and a fully traceable food supply. You see, we believe the best way to help a family farmer is to buy from them. And Heritage Foods is honored to represent a network of family farmers and artisanal producers whose work presents an immeasurable gift to our food system and to biodiversity. The meat we celebrate, whether it's heritage turkey, Japanese steaks, Berkshire pork, or Navajo churro lamb chops, is the righteous kind from healthy animals of sound genetics that have been treated humanely and allowed to pursue their natural instincts. It's a simple fact. Animals raised according to this philosophy taste better. And as we like to say, you have to eat them to save them. Visit us at heritagefoodsusa.com for more information.
And we are back. I am talking to Charles Merrill and Carrie Hovey all about their organization Project Thorn, which is all about rhino conservation. So, Carrie, how much are you guys looking to raise?
We're looking, our base goal for the project is $15,000, and our stretch goal is $30,000.
And what will that buy?
Well, a little goes a long way.
Nice.
It really, really does. We think of horses here, and you just think big dollars.
Yeah.
For $15,000, we will be able to buy 5 wildlife trained horses.
Holy cow.
Yeah, no kidding.
Really.
What gets better is we will pay for their supplemental food, their foot care, their inoculations, and their vet care for an entire year.
Wow.
We'll buy their necessary tack, and we'll make the improvements to their existing stables.
Unbelievable.
That's $15,000. And for $30,000, we'll fund the entire program for 3 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I might be able to help you with tack and equipment, so, like, we'll talk after the show, but I have a bunch of hookups on that, so we might be able to do something for you.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of friends with a lot of horses and a lot of tack. I can probably harass someone to give you a bridle or something. We'll see what we can do. But actually, here's a question for you. How can people contribute to your cause? What can they do to help?
Okay, well, we have our website, projectthorn.com, and we have a link with our fiscal sponsor there. Our fiscal sponsor is Green Planet Films.
Nice.
And then tomorrow we'll be launching a campaign on generosity.com. Generosity is Indiegogo's cause-related site,
mm-hmm.
so it doesn't have all the fees.
Nice.
Is associated with Indiegogo.
Cool.
So generosity, we're all about that.
That's wonderful.
The contributions will be tax deductible because
beautiful.
We have a fiscal sponsor. And you can also share this information with family and friends and your social networks. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook for updates.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say just in general for everyone just to pay attention to wildlife-related issues on the state, national, and international level. What we do here in the U.S. affects what happens at the site conference in Johannesburg next.
Wow.
So, I mean, you really can make a difference. We just need to be aware of it. Just because it's not our backyard doesn't mean it doesn't affect us and that we can't affect it.
Well, and I mean, that's a damn good point. And it's also just because it's not in our backyard doesn't mean that this is an issue that's not doesn't affect us or isn't important. You know, that's the thing, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why are rhinos important?
Why are rhinos important?
Yeah, for you,
well,
why are rhinos important?
Aside from being absolutely magnificent social beings, they're an iconic apex species. They've been on the planet for 40 million years.
Really?
40 million years, and they might go extinct during the next decade.
Oh, Jesus.
It just is mind-boggling to me. They're a mega herbivore.
Uh-huh.
If you think of, basically think of the rhino, the white rhino is not a wino. the white rhino, it's basically a lawnmower.
Okay.
And he maintains and grooms the savanna, and the biodiversity of the savanna depends upon those rhinos keeping things trimmed and allowing other plant life to grow. And when you get down to it, we are their only predator.
God.
And if we can't keep the rhinos alive, truly, what hope do we as a species have?
Isn't that the truth? And it makes me wonder, too, like, you know, which is only found out when it's too late, sadly, but, like, when one species gets wiped out, then what happens and, you know, what the cause is, the, what, you know, the result is from this.
Yeah.
And so it just becomes this spiraling, what can be in a horrible mess, you know?
Yeah, if the rhino stops trimming the aggressive grasses, will the small plants that the other species rely upon grow?
Wow.
And if they don't grow, what doesn't get fed?
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't even thinking that. I was thinking of, like, tall grasses and then predators and, you know, like, can't get around, that kind of thing. But that's also, I mean, there's a million reasons of why these animals need to survive, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. And so, I mean, with your experiences down there, have you had it? Can you tell us a story or of anything of what really, if, I mean, I know Charles has this amazing story, which if you're willing to share it, I would love to hear it, about how this all affected you and how you got involved in this.
Well, you know, I'm a California technology person.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first met the anti-poaching ranger, I was totally focused on technology, helicopters, drones, thermal imaging. And he gently guided me to the conclusion that technology-based ideas might be a part of a broad solution, but rangers on the ground in the parks is the most effective, cost-effective solution.
Mm.
And that the horse patrols have all the advantages that we listed. They desensitize the rhino to men with guns.
Nice.
Right? Because now anybody with a gun is obviously a bad person. They also help protect the ranger because now they're more easily able to see boot prints because they're not commingled.
Mm.
They can cover five times the distance. They can go out for multi-day patrols in remote areas. And then as we went to the Rhino Art Program, and Carrie gave a presentation in front of 1,100 school children.
Wow.
And the Zulu educator dragged me up on stage, and he pointed at me, and he's like, "If there are rhinos, there are no tourists." And he pointed at me. And he says, "If there are no tourists, there are no jobs."
Wow.
And he pointed at them. In my opinion, the animals should benefit the communities, not the crime syndicates. And they also told us that for each position, each job in the park, the income generated from that one job supports 18 people.
Wow.
So long-term living wildlife is of more value to them than a new car.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, we spent several more weeks traveling the different parks, and I was lucky enough to be able to sit down very near a rhino. I was in a car, but near enough to a rhino to just listen to the three of them breathe.
Wow.
And it was life-changing.
Wow.
And what I got out of that is that they're incredibly sentient, social beings that literally do no harm to anything unless they're forced to.
Mm-hmm.
There's no medicinal value to the rhino horn. The danger is just based on, in my opinion, international speculation.
Yeah.
And then the heart-wrenching moments were, with the ranger, we were able to go back, and they call it a boma. And Pelosi does some capture and transport of rhino to increase genetic diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to stand within feet of an 18-hour-old rhino calf.
Wow.
With its mother.
Wow.
And it was amazing. But in the next pen, there was a 3-year-old male that had been removed. They called a pack or herd a crash.
Mm-hmm.
And it had been moved from its crash. And I had never heard a rhino cry. And they sound like a dolphin, that kind of high-pitched thing. And it was heart-rending. And at that point, I'm like, I'm in.
Wow.
That noise is heartbreaking. It'll forever haunt me. And I have to do something, and I think that this is, Kerry put together a great opportunity for me to help.
Wow. And so, Charles, how smart do you think the average rhino is?
I don't believe, my personal experience, I don't think they're very smart.
Okay.
there is no, it's like shooting a minivan at Costco.
Okay.
But they're sentient.
Yeah.
They truly care. I mean, you can tell they care about each other.
Oh.
And they bond.
I don't know if you, Sylvia, I don't know if you, Sylvia, sorry, Celia.
That's all good.
I don't know if you saw the internet photos that went around about a month ago where a rhino actually lifted a baby zebra out of a mud. The zebra was caught in a mud pit.
No, I totally missed that.
And a rhino went up to it and scooped it under. The rhino was chest deep in mud, scooped, put his whole head in the mud, and scooped the zebra, the baby zebra, up, and moved it back onto firm earth.
Wow.
So, I mean, they are compassionate animals.
Yeah, they're sweet.
Yeah. They don't deserve an aggressive reputation.
They really don't. I mean, they really, really don't. It's, you guys are teaching me a lot today. I love this. Unreal. I mean, and I want to say thank you guys both for doing this. It's, this is the type of thing, too, which I love. And Kerry mentioned that, this is one person making a difference.
Oh, no, it's not just me. It's
also
Charles and Jill Schumacher and Ali Ivemark and Ruth McKay Shea. I recruited them when I came back because it's like I need people with bigger networks than mine with different diverse skills. I'm great at being an artist. I'm not so great at accounting.
Oh, I hear you, girl.
I'm not so great at marketing. I'm an artist.
Exactly.
So I recruited a passionate team of people that also care about the rhinos.
Well, I love what you've done. I think it's amazing. I like I said, girl, I'm so proud of you. It's like from all-nighters to SVA to really making a huge difference in the world through your art and your communication, and I think that's wonderful. And I want to thank both of you for taking the time to talk to me, and thank you so much for reaching out about this project, too. I never would have known about this. So if there's anything I can ever do, please contact me and let me know. I would love to have you guys on the show in the future, and we can talk about what's been going on and that kind of thing.
Well, once we get the funding, we will actually be going to Africa and buying the horses.
Ooh, that's exciting.
And we'll be there when they're delivered, and we'll meet with the rangers. So we'll have an account of the success.
That sounds amazing.
Everyone pools a little money together for these beings.
And these are, I mean, like Kerry said, this is a 501c3, so it's a tax write-off. So, I mean, if you guys want to do a donation for a really small business that actually the money is actually going to do something and not pay the CEO, take a look at Project Thorn, because what they're doing, as we've just heard, is super, super important.
And we're all volunteers.
You guys are amazing.
The money's going where the mission is.
Oh, Kerry, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, my God. Thank you for reals, man. This was great.
It's an honor to be here.
I'm so touched to have spread your message. And like I said, let's keep in touch. And for everybody else, next week is the end of the season, but I'm going to have one last episode on that's going to be live. So thank you guys for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at Food Healer. Also, there's a Facebook page. Also, check out Project Thorn's pages. They're on Twitter. They're also on Facebook. Like them, too. Have a great week, and take care, and I'll talk to you in 7 days.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.